Hey guys, welcome back. This is meditation number 2 for the Yoga and Oils Meditation Podcast. I hope you got to go through the last one that we did last week, the first guided meditation. If not, you can always go back and do that. It's always going to be there and available to you. Thank you so much for such an awesome response to that first meditation, and I hope that these just continue to help kind of bolster you as you're moving through your life right now. So while you're here, if you are digging it, you can subscribe to this podcast. That way, every time there's a new meditation, you'll know right away. And if you want to, you can leave a review, because that's a fun thing to do too. I won't hate it. I mean, unless it's a bad review, I might not love it, but I'll still hold space for it. I'll still hear you out. Okay, so today we're going to do a meditation that I'm calling Love and Fury. And I know that those two words don't necessarily seem like they can coexist, but they can, and we will get there. So just give us some time to kind of unravel this here together. We are going to use a Young Living blend called Release in this meditation. Release is my favorite emotional oil from Young Living. I've been using it for about 3.5 years, and every single time I feel like it really helps me move through what it is that I'm kind of trying to unpack for myself. So if you do not have the blend Release, that's okay. Maybe you have other oils on your shelf that you can pull off. Some of the ingredients in Release are ylang ylang, geranium, royal Hawaiian sandalwood, grapefruit, tangerine, spearmint, lemon, blue cypress, rose, jasmine. If you have any of those oils and you want to use them here in your own meditation, that's awesome. Again, like when they formulate a blend, they do it really specifically to create an energetic response from the oil itself. And so the components of one oil are going to play into the components of all the other oils. So the blend itself is obviously preferred, but if you don't have it, that's okay. That doesn't mean you don't get to do the meditation. Of course you do. But we use these blends in meditation because we're trying to create just kind of a broader space for an energetic and emotional response, just to kind of help facilitate a deeper space of release or movement or whatever it is that we're trying to actually create in this meditation. For this meditation itself, we're trying to create a sense of release, and so we're using the blend Release. So if you have it, or any oil that you want to use here, I'm going to just invite you to come into a Shavasana for this meditation. So last time we were in a seated position. Today we're going to lay flat on our backs. You can be on a mat, you can be on the floor, you can be wherever you want to be, but you want to be able to be completely flat against the earth, whatever that looks like for you. So come to a quiet space where you're not going to be distracted. I'm going to apologize in advance. My dog's kind of walking around today, so if you hear her, she might be a distraction for you, but that's kind of the point of meditation, is to move through those things. So come to your quiet space, lie flat on your back, and you're going to maybe notice right away that even flat on your back, your shoulders kind of instinctively curl in. And so go ahead and kind of tuck the shoulder blades underneath you and kind of press the chest up towards the sky a little bit. Take the legs wide, take the arms wide, let the toes fall out, kind of wiggle your fingers and then let them relax. And we're just going to kind of take a scan through the body to create a little bit more of a relaxed state here. So first, just paying attention to your natural breath as it is, without trying to force it or change it or create something new. Just take note of where you are right now, of what your breath is doing right now. Maybe it's short and choppy. Maybe it's already kind of deep. But just without any judgment, just notice what your body is already doing. And then take a scan through your body and notice anywhere that you're feeling any tension, where you're holding on to something, where you're gripping. So maybe just start at your toes, arches of your feet, and your calves, and your knees, and your thighs, and your hips. This is like a very common place to be holding on to something. Into your belly, into your ribs, your heart, and your your shoulders, your arms and your fingers, your throat, your jaw, your forehead and the crown of your head. Without judgment, just noticing where you might be holding tension, or you might be feeling kind of compressed, pushed down. And if you remember from last week, we talked about how we use meditation to kind of breathe away the packed desert floor of our own selves, that space in us where we just kind of compress traumas or memories or feelings or experiences, things that we didn't know how to deal with then, and so we just kind of pushed them down. And here in this meditation, here in this body scan even, we just want to create a space where we can start to breathe into that and lift those things away layer by layer, knowing that now as we get older and we do this healing work for ourselves, we're more capable now of healing and looking at compassionately those experiences, those memories, those feelings. So really setting an intention here to let whatever needs to rise, rise, to look at it compassionately without any judgment or shame or fear, but to let things kind of surface as they need to, even if they don't seem related to what it is that we're doing here, they're surfacing for a reason. And so we're gonna look compassionately at ourselves with kindness and gentleness, with forgiveness. We're gonna create here a space for us to be exactly as we are. So now, knowing that awareness of your body, taking note of wherever it is that you're holding tension or grief or anger, we're gonna start to deepen the breath. Moving into an Ujjayi breath, which is the breath of the warrior, and it's this very deep inhale through the nose, and then a slight pause at the top, and then a very deep exhale through the nose with a slight pause at the bottom. Creating a rhythm that's unique to you and seeing with every inhale, can you lengthen the breath? With every exhale, can you lengthen the breath? Just kind of pushing yourself out against the edges of the lungs, of your body, of the energy body, seeing if you can expand with the breath, seeing if you can completely contract with the breath. Rather than just thinking about it only happening in your lungs, think about your entire body moving with the breath, both physically and energetically. You're expanding and you're contracting. And as you're moving into this breath, as you're creating this rhythm that is unique to you, noticing those places in your body starting to release. Your oil is diffusing. Maybe it's on your wrists, on the palms of your hands, on the soles of your feet, along your spine, over your chest, over your throat, wherever it is for you. But breathing in the sense of that blend, letting it move through you with your breath. Closed throughout this entire meditation, we're going to come back to the breath over and over again. And I want you to see if you can keep the breath moving throughout this entire meditation, and I'll remind you to come back to it just in case you've lost it. So this meditation is about both love and fury, about those two things existing. And I think that there's this very common perception that love is kind of a weak thing, that love is a small thing. And for the sake of today, this moment, you and your own healing journey, I want to present to you the idea that love is a force, that love is the glue that holds the universe together, that we exist in love, that we were both made by love and of love, and that love is the central force of existence. Love is not a small thing. Love is like a hurricane. It's a storm. It's this furious movement. It's not angry. It's not cold. It's not hard, but it is strong. It's powerful. It's a constant movement throughout the universe, throughout humanity, throughout our understanding of the divine. Every time we encounter the kind of love that heals and transforms, we are encountering the divine. In- In his book, The Furious Longing of God, Brennan Manning tells a story. And it's kind of long, so I'm going to break it up throughout the meditation for you. But he writes this. After 35 years of praying over the passion and death narratives in Luke's gospel, French biblical scholar Pierre Benoit believes that the Abba of Jesus spoke to his son as he hung naked, nailed to the wood, with spit dripping down his face, his body bathed in blood. And Benoit believes the words Abba spoke were words from the Hebrew scriptures in Song of Songs. And it says this, "Come now, my love, my lovely one, come. For you the winter has passed, the snows are over and gone. The flowers appear in the land, the season of joyful song has come. The cooing of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Come now, my love, my lovely one, come. Let me see your face, and let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet, and your face is beautiful. Come now, my love, my lovely one, come." And then Brennan writes, "Abba was calling Jesus home to an intimacy of life and love that defied description, a home where every tear is wiped away, where there is no more mourning, no more sadness. And Jesus seems to hear the voice of his Abba because his last word on the cross is a response from the powerful, profound intimacy of his own heart. And Jesus cries out, 'Abba, Abba, I'm coming. I'm coming home. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Into your heart I commend my heart. Abba, it's finished, consummated. I'm coming home.' And the torn, broken, lacerated body of Jesus the Son is swept up into the reckless, raging fury that they call the love of God." So for a moment, just breathe. And let whatever is stirred by those words surface. For some of us, it might even be a little bit of a trigger. There might be this feeling of like, cannot reconcile to the idea that there is love in God, because we've been handed so many messages of judgment and shame, of fear and of anger, and the idea that God is so intensely, powerfully this force of love is just too foreign. And maybe it's hard to reconcile because your whole life you've been hearing those words, God is love, but you've been watching it play out differently. You've seen and heard and experienced things that are done in the name of love, in the name of God, and they are painful and they are ugly and they cannot possibly reflect anything that has to do with love. And so maybe right now, this feels like a trigger. And I want to invite you into the idea, the possibility, that triggers are there to heal us, that they're a symptom of inflammation, the spiritual inflammation, something that is telling us, you're ready to be healed here. You're ready to move forward, maybe into just like a little sliver of healing, but something is ready to shift because it is stirring and it's aggravated inside of you. So what are we going to do about that? How are we going to heal that? And so maybe there's like a stretching here that happens in your mind and your heart. Maybe right now we can enter into a safe space where you are right now on the ground, connected to the earth, fully present in your own body, at the mercy of no one. Maybe right now in this safe space, we can consider the possibility that the divine, the God of the universe, the source of life, whatever you want to name God, is a safe place. That is it possible that God sees the suffering of humanity? And the response is not judgment, it's not a cold wall, it's not a pushing back, but the response is, come away with me. You have worked so hard and so long to exist here, and I'm going to lift that burden. maybe the response from God in your suffering, in your grief, in your loss, in the betrayal of community, in the struggle of existing as a human being in a broken world, is not a cold judgment. It's not a closed door. Maybe the response of God is a flinging open of the heavens and an inviting you in. And not into death, friends, but into life. Not into abandonment and isolation and loneliness, but into intimacy and connection, into this divine flow that is constantly moving and inviting us in. And we don't have to decide right now whether or not that's true, but maybe we just lay here in a space of letting it be true if it is. Of inviting spirit and presence to do some work in you that might start shifting loose some of that desert floor. Some of the experiences that you've already had, those very valid and real hurts. Maybe here, the space of breath and spirit and being fully, completely you as you are, is a moment of peace, of not needing to control or understand or define or figure out. But can you just be in this soft river of possibility that maybe God is not what you've been told God is? Maybe God is that force of love that has always been at work to restore you, to heal you, to revive you, and to bring you into a space of being so truly and uniquely and wildly you that you stir the waters everywhere you go because you just don't fit the religious mold. So Brennan goes on in his story, and he talks about living in New Orleans for a while. And he was a priest, so he worked in the only leper colony in the United States in Carville, Louisiana. And he would go and visit with the lepers. He said, on one occasion, I was coming up the front steps. A nurse came running toward me and said, Brennan, can you come quickly and pray with Yolanda? She's dying, Brennan. I always carry the holy oils with me to anoint any who desire it. I went up to Yolanda's room on the second floor and sat on the edge of the bed. Yolanda is a woman 37 years old. 5 years ago, before the leprosy began to ravage, she must have been one of the most stunningly beautiful creatures God ever made. I do not mean just a cute, pretty, or even attractive woman. I mean the kind of blindingly physical beauty that causes men and women on the street to stop and stare. In pictures, Yolanda has the largest, most mesmerizing, most translucent brown eyes I've ever seen, set in this exquisitely chiseled face with high cheekbones, long brown hair, down to a slender waist and a perfectly proportioned bust, but that was then. Now her nose is pressed into her face, her mouth is severely contorted, both ears are distended, she has no fingers on either hand, just two little stumps. One of the first effects of leprosy is losing all sensitivity in your extremities, toes, and fingers. A leper can rest her hand on a burning hot stove and feel absolutely nothing. This often leads to gangrene and eventually demands amputation. Yolanda just had these two little stumps. 2 years earlier, her husband divorced her because of the social stigma attached to leprosy, and he had forbidden their two sons, boys 14 and 16, from ever visiting their mother. The father was an alcoholic, complete with frequent violent mood swings. The boys were terrified of him, so they dutifully obeyed, and as a result, Yolanda was dying, an abandoned, forsaken woman. I anointed Yolanda with oil and prayed with her. As I turned around to put the top back on the bottle of oil, the room was filled with a brilliant light. It had been raining when I came in. I didn't even look up, but said, "Thanks, Abba, for the sunshine. I bet that will cheer her up." As I turned to look back at Yolanda, and if I live to be 300 years old, I'll never be able to find the words to describe what I saw. Her face was like a sunburst over the mountains, like 1,000 sunbeams streaming out of her face, literally so brilliant I had to shield my eyes. I said, "Yolanda, you appear to be very happy." With her slight Mexican-American accent, she said, "Oh, Father, I am so happy." I then asked her, "Will you tell me why you're so happy?" She said, "Yes, the Abba of Jesus just told me that he would take me home today." I vividly remember the hot tears that began rolling down my cheeks. After a lengthy pause, I asked just what the Abba of Jesus had said, and Yolanda said, Come now, my love, my lovely one, come. For you, the winter has passed, the snows are over and gone, the flowers appear in the land, the season of joyful songs has come, the cooing of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Come now, my love, my Yolanda, come. Let me see your face and let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is beautiful. Come now, my love, my lovely one, come." 6 hours later, her little leprous body was swept up into the furious love of her Abba. Later that same day, I learned from the staff that Yolanda was illiterate. She had never read the Bible or any book for that matter in her entire life. I surely had never repeated those words to her in any of my visits. I was, as they say, a man undone. If you've lost your breath, come back to it. That deep ujjayi breath that maybe now is moving differently through your body. Feel out how different it feels in your lungs, in your limbs, in your chest, in your throat, in the crown of your head. How does it feel in your belly and your hips? And for a moment, let's consider the idea that God is not the source of punishment in the world, that bad things do not happen to people because they've deserved them or earned them, or because God is vengeful or angry or unjust or does not care. But instead, God is that comfort, that source of love in the midst of very difficult, painful moments. When we feel abandoned or lost or alone, betrayed, rejected, lied about, when we experience injustice, God is the presence of comfort wherever we touch it, wherever we taste it, wherever we hear it. And what if for a moment, whatever is surfacing for you, that repressed memory, that thought, that experience, something that was said or done to you, something you've been struggling to uncover, to look at, when you touch it, you recoil, there's a trigger. Whatever that thing is it being uncovered for the sake of your healing so that maybe you can rewrite the story a little bit? From this perspective now, can you pull back? Can you stand back and see where maybe the divine was a source of comfort, of provision, of nearness, of presence? And although you maybe were not spared the entire experience, were you held there? So breathing in to the compressed space, the tight parts of your body, and letting surface whatever needs to surface. Let yourself move with the flow. Something else often happens when we're suffering, when we're struggling, when we're in the throes of grief. Seems like everything is going wrong and we cannot breathe. We can't get on top. We can't get our head above water. Sometimes we experience the silence of God. And what we've been told is that then God is angry with us, or we have some unconfessed sin, or it's something we've done. And God is cold and silent. And I read a book years ago by a man named Pete Gregg. he suggests in this book that what we're experiencing in that moment is not the abandonment of God. It's not the anger of God, but it's as if we're on the phone and someone just presses mute. As if God is on mute, but God is still listening, still present, still at work, still breathing into us. But it feels like God has gone silent. And because of what we're told and because of the way shame works in our hearts and minds, we assume that means that God has abandoned us, God has betrayed us, God ceases to exist, God is angry, and so we internalize and we compress and we push everything down into that desert floor of ourselves. But what if right now we reorient? Just the possibility, it doesn't even have to be a fact here, but just something to start working, healing deeper into us. What if right now we allow for the idea that God has not abandoned us, but God is silent, God's on mute, God's listening, God is present. The furious love of God is still flowing all around us. And like Jesus was not spared the crucifixion, like Yolanda was not given back her life and her body and face as it had been, God is still present. The love of God was still moving, in fact, probably deeper, stronger, in full force, touching the human suffering that lives in us and pours out of us. And that we can't look back at these things and convince ourselves that we were not betrayed by people, we were not abandoned by people, we were not lied about or misunderstood or hurt or abused or traumatized. Those things happened. They are reality. But where was divine love in the thick of it? Where is divine love right now? And what happens if we open ourselves to the idea that divine love has always been the sustaining force, not the source of punishment or anger, but that tiny thread or that strong feeling that somehow we are being held, that somehow we survived it, we came through it. Somehow right now you are laying on your back, on the ground, with your heart wide open, and you are still here. You are still breathing. Healing is still happening for you and in you and through you, because you are not just made by love, but you are made of love. Rob Bell says that Jesus came to teach us how to be human. So maybe for a moment, in your breath, in this opening of your body, this flat posture, there's space for you to consider the idea that this crucifixion story about Jesus, every story we have of his life and existence, is not something that we are removed from, but something that was meant to teach us how to be us, how to be human, how to act and move in compassion, how to heal, how to withdraw when we need to pull away, to go to a quiet place to restore ourselves, and then how to come back and to pour into the broken and the hurting. And you will never hear me say that everything happens for a reason, because friends, I'm going to say it, I think that's bullshit. But I will say this: what has happened in your life can and will produce wholeness in you. Because that is the work of love. That is what the force of love genuinely does. That is how love and fury coexist, because love is not passive. We are swept up into the furious love of God. We are held there in the glue of the universe. And most often, what keeps us from that healing is that compressed part of us. We experience something, we name it, we define it, we're wounded by it, we don't know what to do with it, so we push it down and we believe the message that we've experienced what we've experienced because God is not good. Because we are not good. Because we are being punished, or God favors other people more than us. We are not seen, we are not known, we are not chosen, and we are not loved. And then we move forward in that. We live our lives pulling from that dry well. But this right here, right now, is an opportunity to go deeper, to breathe into that, to let it lift away. So that in our suffering, we can hear those words, come away with me. This season has passed. The struggle, the heartbreak, the betrayal, the loss, the grief. Come away with me into something new. Heal yourself here so that you can move into something new. Feel everything that you need to feel so that you are free to feel something new. And let this be as wordless, as energetic, as spiritual as it needs to be. And if your response right now is that you need to rage and release and cry and scream, if you need to pound the ground, if you need to say angry things to God and about God, let me tell you right now, divine love can handle that. The furious love of God can sweep up the broken body of Jesus, who is the embodiment of love, then the furious love of God can handle your grief and your anger and your loss and anything you need to say. Compressing that fear, that anger, that shame has never served you. But the divine is a deep well, an ongoing flow, and you are allowed to be fully and completely you here. You are allowed to say what you need to say and to feel what you need to feel. And so whatever that response is, let it well up and pour out over and over again, because you will not move into freedom until you have released what has been sitting at the base of your existence for years. If you are angry at someone else, if you are hurt by them, say it, breathe it, pour it out. Don't make that truth exist only inside of you anymore. Let it come out without any shame, without any judgment. Breathe it out. Wherever you've been holding this in your body, shake it out. Maybe right now it's as simple as just unclenching your hands, letting your fingers fall open. Maybe right now it's as simple as opening your mouth and letting your breath move out like a deep sigh. Maybe right now it's about crying, feeling. For a moment, hearing your breath, your deep warrior breath, releasing the tension of the idea, the message that God is angry, that God is punishing, that God is judging. And hear those words, friend, for you here in your Shavasana, in your corpse pose, where you come to release. Because when you sit up again, you are new. Something has died. Something stays on the ground, buried there, released from your body. And when you sit up again, you are whole. You are free. You are healing. And you come back to this space as many times as you need to. But hear those words from the God of the universe spoken with compassion and tenderness, spoken as a God who has entered into the human heart, who has carried the weight of being human. Come away. Come into something new. Relinquish everything that has kept you buried and stuck and alone. Come away with me. You have done so well to bring yourself here to this moment. And you don't have to do that anymore. So come away with me. Come into something new. And friends, I guarantee that that something new will be wildly, freely, truly more than you have ever imagined. Peeling away of who you have been and what you have experienced and what has caked over you all this time will be the most liberating experience of your life. So with your breath, start to wiggle your fingers and your toes and maybe let your head fall side to side and feel the breath kind of pouring out of your mouth. And then reach your arms out over your head and stretch through your fingers and your toes and feel the whole body get long. Feel your spine as it lengthens. Maybe stretch side to side for a moment. And then draw your knees into your chest and bring your hands to your shins and maybe rock side to side or circle the hips. And then when you're ready, rolling to one side and resting there for a moment in this fetal position. Feeling out already the shift in your body and your heart and your mind and your spirit. Knowing that this is a sacred space that you have held for yourself. And then when you're ready, just go ahead and press yourself up to a seated position. Keep your spine long and bring your hands to your heart. So thumbs pressing into your chest, palms pressing together. And then soften the shoulders out of the ears and lift up through the crown of the head. Feel the length of your spine from your tailbone to your crown. And I want you for a moment just to acknowledge the divine light that lives and breathes and moves in you, and to remind yourself here that you are not just made by love, you are made of love. You are made of divine breath. You are capable of healing yourself because the healing presence of the divine fills your body, your mind, your spirit, your DNA. You are held together by the force, the fury of divine love. And when you move from this space, friends, I want you to remember that as we do deep healing work in ourselves, vulnerability comes for us later. We feel a little drained or tired. We question what it is that we've done in this healing work, and that's just a part of the process. So learn shame resilience here and know how to shake it out of your body. You have done such good work to sit quietly with yourself today, to breathe into the layers that have compacted down in you, and to reclaim yourself. Thank you for letting me just hold this space with you for a little bit. Thank you for loving yourself enough to do this work. You are so loved. You are seen and you are heard and you are known. And the force of divine love in the universe has always been at work to heal you. The divine light in me recognizes and bows to the divine light in you.